seasons of change. So our ability to handle that change when it does happen, where we don't live in this constant state of shock and frustration and disappointment because things just aren't like they used to be, or why isn't it working? So if we get that mentality that things change, when change does happen, we won't get frustrated, we won't get disappointed, or maybe disappointed, but it won't be overwhelming. And instead, what will happen is we become more resilient. Say, okay, this has happened, this has changed, I can't do much about it. I can't change that, I can't fix it, but maybe I can get something out of it. And that tends to make us a more resilient people. James chapter 4 says this, it says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And so this actually reminds us that we are not as in control as what we think we are in regards to life. We are at the whim of circumstances and change, to the point where the Bible tells us that we are actually foolish to think that we have control over what's happening around us. And if we can't see that, if we can't see that we're not as in control and as powerful as what we think we are, we're going to have a rough time of things when things do change. We'll always be living in a state of frustration and disappointment because things aren't going our way. But by understanding that we can't control everything, we'll develop a mentality of accepting that change is a part of life, and that builds that resilience. And then we also looked at, last week, we looked at how to develop a vision, that we need to get an understanding of what God is. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Well, it's because that God has a plan and purpose for our life. We can develop our own vision for ourselves, but ultimately, when we grab hold of God's vision for us, that's an eternal vision. That's something that cannot be shaken. And so when we start to get a vision of what God has called us to do, of who we are meant to be, when things happen, when things change, when obstacles come our way, when opposition comes our way, because we've got that vision, it's like, okay, we find solutions as to how to get over them and move forward in the things that God has for us. It says that Jesus, for the joy set before him of the cross, when he looked at the cross, when he saw what the cross was going to bring to all of mankind, how it's going to bring salvation and deliverance, he said the cross was a joy for him to go to because he knew the impact that it could have on others. And that enabled him to have this resilience in the midst of suffering. That's a powerful witness for all of us, that if we get the vision that God has called us to, friends, when it becomes something of a conviction in us, friends, nothing can shake us. That builds, that's resilience, where nothing shakes you. People might even oppose you, hopefully not doing it because you're so arrogant in your vision, right? Jesus went to the cross in humility, but knowing that, God, you've put this conviction in my life, you become unshakable. You become a resilient person. This is what God wants for us, because he knows that life is difficult. Life is full of strange things and happenings and opposition and, you know, the work of the enemy. And God doesn't want us to be like defenseless sheep, but he wants us to be people that are able to press through and say, God, I know you're bringing me into something better for my future, for my family, for this community, for this church. And when we get that vision, we can become resilient when things don't go our way. Proverbs 29 says that where there is no revelation, or other translations say, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, if we don't have a vision for where God is taking us and what he's doing in our life, then we're less likely to be resilient. What it says there, we'll cast off restraint. We'll cast off the discipline. We'll cast off the determination to push on. Because we don't know where we're going, we get the whim of every circumstance to be like, oh, well, you know, I can't do it. It's too hard. And how many people are we seeing in life doing that? Well, life's just too hard. I just give up. You know, life is just, I don't have the determination or the willpower to push through. But God wants to give us a vision so that when the difficulties come, when the temptations come, we can say, no, that doesn't work for me. That's going to cost me too much. And oftentimes the reason why we lack that self-discipline, why we give into temptation is because we don't have we have the vision, but it may not be a conviction in our life. And so God wants to speak life into you. God wants to speak hope into us, purpose, meaning, identity, so that friends, when the people lie to you about what you're like and who you are, it's like, no, that's not what God is doing in me. God's given me a vision of where he's taking me, what I'm becoming, and we're able to push through those things. He wants us to be resilient. We are in the process of watching the Olympics. Well, I'm boycotting the Olympic Games for various reasons. You know, plus the Matildas lost 3-0, so it's all over. But you think about the athletes who want to compete in the Olympics. They have given their whole life from a very young age of going into practice, of training, of developing their skill, because ultimately their vision is to win a gold medal. And because they've got that vision before them, friends, they'll go through the training routine. They'll get up early in the morning and do whatever's required of them. They'll change their diet. They'll try and change their thinking because they know they have to have this willpower. They have to have this resilience to push through in order to achieve the ultimate prize. They restrain themselves within what they eat and how they manage their time and sleeping habits. Their training regime, they commit themselves to that in order to win the prize. But so many of us is like, oh, well, we'll do whatever, you know. You know, I've got to go to church tomorrow, but I'm up until 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, no, God, what is our vision? What has God called us to do? And we talked about this last week. I haven't got it in my notes here. But one of the greatest things is that Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. And part of our vision has to fit in with helping God build his church. If we are participants in the building of the church, then I think more likely, even if we are bad at it, when it comes to the end of the days and we stand before God and say, God, I did a terrible job. I tried to help, but made a mess of it. He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what I'm banking on. Please. All right. And so this week, we're going to look at another practice or tool that we can take on for ourselves in order to develop resilience, and that is the need to manage our emotions. We become resilient when we can manage our emotions. Now, I just want to put an underlying thing here that I am of Italian heritage from the region of Napoli. We're in the hillside of Benevento. And the Napolitanos of Italy are considered the crazy emotional people, okay? So do not as I do, do as I say. We're a wild bunch. Sorry, I know that was shocking, but we'll get over it. I'm still in therapy. And so was Sue for marrying me. But emotions play an important part of our growth and development as people, where they help shape our thoughts, our behaviours, and affect our relationships. Everyone, I don't know if you know this, ladies too, just believe this, everybody has emotions, even men. But not many of us are able to express our emotions well or manage our emotions in the right way. But having the ability to manage our emotions is an important part of becoming a functional human being who is resilient, because it's the ability to manage those emotions that helps us to handle stress or fear or whatever emotion is wanting to rise up and overwhelm us whenever problems and frustrations and disappointments come our way. Remember, change is a natural part of life. We can't avoid it. And sometimes change brings a lot of disappointment and frustration. So we need to steel ourselves mentally, but also we need to steel ourselves emotionally for what comes, whatever happens to life. If we can't manage our emotions the right way, These emotions, if left unchecked, can derail our progress in life. Our emotions can paralyze us. You ever heard of being paralyzed by fear? Right? Our emotions can paralyze us, and they can cause us to retreat or to explode with anger and rage when we needed to push through and push forward in life. If our emotions lie unchecked, friends, they can derail everything that God is doing in our life. Emotions can affect us physically. They can cause us to have an increased heart rate, cause us to stress out and tremble, our physically tremble with our bodies, to even affect our breathing. You ever been in a situation where oftentimes, you know, sometimes you got to speak truth to people and it's difficult. And I know sometimes I'm finding it hard to breathe at the moment. Because it's that stress that comes on and those emotions are wanting to override you. And emotions also releases extra energy when experiencing a tense situation or even a good situation where I was wanting to run like Rocky IV in that time. That was an emotional time. That was awesome. So emotions play a big part in how we handle life. And therefore, for us to become a more resilient people, we need to learn how to manage our emotions. Otherwise, they have the potential to impact us in another way. And the Bible talks a lot about this, about managing our emotions throughout Scripture, because it understands what it means for us to be human. And in fact, in the passage we read earlier in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, it says there are times to weep, times to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. That's emotional. There are times. It's a good time to have a laugh. But also realize that there is the right time to weep and a time to mourn. It's a good thing. God has made us that way to be emotional people. But underlying all that is the need to control our emotions so they don't get the best of us. It's not wrong to be emotional. It's just that we need to make sure we are keeping those emotions in check. And we see this in Genesis chapter 4. It says that Abel became a shepherd with Cain, who cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also bought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but the Lord did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry and looked dejected. Can you grab me a tissue or something? And then God said, "Why are you so angry? Dude, chillax." The Lord said, asked Cain, "Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master." Thank you. See, God created us to have emotions. So having emotions and being emotional is not something we should try and remove from our life. Rather, what we find here is that God is instructing Abel to control his emotional reaction to the situation, to control his emotions rather than being controlled by them. And so God warns him. He says, if you refuse to do what is right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. See, friends, there is a war going on inside each and every one of us where our sin nature, the overuse of our emotions, our sin nature loves to be emotional, stir up that emotional, stir up the needs of the flesh. And so this sin nature always looking for opportunities to stir up our emotions, to stir up our flesh, because our sin nature wants to control our lives. And God calls us to take control of these things, to bring them under constraint. We are not meant to be led by our emotions or our flesh. We all struggle with it. But friends, that is not God's design. In fact, he calls us to show restraint. In Proverbs chapter 25, I'm getting so emotional, I'm spitting all over the place. I baptize you in the name of the Father. No. Proverbs 25 says, like a city whose walls are broken through is a person who lacks self-control. See, cities were built with the idea of building a wall as a defense mechanism. I'm going to build a wall, friends. Build a wall. To keep the enemy out. And so when we don't practice self-control, then it's like we remove this defense mechanism and left ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy to invade us. There's nothing to stop them. Our emotions are so real and powerful that they will either lead us to a place of death or they'll lead us to a place of life. Like the situation with Abel. Even though our emotions are so real, that what we are feeling is real and cannot be disregarded. And I don't want to do that. I don't want us to disregard our emotions. The issue is this. Will we allow those emotions to build resilience in us, or will we allow them to tear down our walls of resilience? This is the battle that we have. And only we know the answer to that question. See, the problems that have arisen in our life, in our relationships, in our work, or even just out in the day-to-day living of the streets of our community have often been created by a lack of controlling our emotions. But God calls us to be a people who have godly responses rather than emotional ones. The Bible teaches us that in difficult situations, it's important for us to turn to God for strength and guidance so that we can have the ability to manage our emotions and not allow those emotional things to lead us to sin. He told Abel, watch out, this is going to cause trouble for you. And he didn't listen. He ended up killing his brother. Ephesians chapter 4 says, in your anger, do not sin. See, the anger is real. The anger is real. We can't deny it. But the issue is it going to bring death or is it going to bring life? It says, do not let the sun go down on while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Firstly of this, he speaks to you and I. He says, you have the responsibility to manage your anger, as he's told Abel. We have the responsibility to make. We can't blame anyone else, but it is our responsibility to manage this. And while I was looking at this passage, it says, and don't give the devil a foothold. In other words, if we allow our emotions to get the best of us, friends, it becomes an open door for the devil to step in and take control. And here's the thing about Satan and his people. Satan does not do drive-by shootings. Satan is not going to just drive by and go, bang, I've got him, I'm going to move on. Listen, what Satan does is if you open the door, he wants to become resident in there. He doesn't do drive-by shootings, friends. He wants to take up residence in our life. And one of the way that he does it is through our emotional responses. And so we might think, oh, you know, I had a bit of an outburst, but you know, I'm forgiven and that's all good. But friends, if you are not careful, you are opening up the door for the enemy to come in and take a stronghold or a foothold in our life. And Satan doesn't care that we're trying hard to manage our emotions. Oh, you know, he had a bad one. Adrian, I had a bad one today. Let's just give him some space. Let him get his act together. You know, we can't do much with him. Friends, we open the door a little bit. He's like, right, I'm in there and you're not getting me out. So why do we struggle with these things? Friends, it's because we've opened the door for the enemy to come in and we need to make sure we get him out and stop it from happening. In order to manage our emotions, we need to pray. We need to bring it to God. God, I'm struggling with this. I need your help. Philippians chapter 4 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. In every situation, every stressful situation, friends, that stress wants to rise up and overwhelm us, that fear, that anxiety, that doubt and that anger, maybe jealousy, whatever it is, whatever emotion. It wants to rise up within us. But the scripture says, look, before you allow it to rise up, bring it to God. Talk to him about it. Talk to him about your struggle, because God wants to replace it with peace. God is saying, if you come to me, I will give you peace. But for us guys, one thing we want to do is try and work it out in our head. Well, before I go to God, I need to give it a thorough mental examination before I bring it to God. I want to sort it out in my head. But sometimes, friends, we just got to say, God, I don't have the capacity. I need to bring it to you. I just need your help. I'm anxious. I'm stressing out. Help me take this burden off me and allow your peace to come into my life. And when we do that, friends, God says he will show us what is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen? Pray. Renew our minds. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The responsibility is for us. This is why we read scripture. This is why we have times of just singing in the worship today, just singing those songs. It's like, God, you are the one in authority. Just renewing my mind just to say, God, you're in control. You have authority. Just in the worship time. This is what God wants us to do, is to renew our mind. Fill it up with the thoughts of God, the ways of God, the plans of God, to say, God, you know, we have been dumped on for so long as people. We've been spat on. We've been dumped on. We've been rejected and abused. But God says, friends, we can renew that thinking of yours. We can take that garbage out, the lies of the enemy. And when you fill it up with the word of God, with the promises of God, with the understanding of who God is, our thinking starts to change. I don't have the power. I don't have the ability. But God, you do. Man, that puts us on a different footing. I can't sort this out. But God, you can. That's hope. That's resilience. Amen? Don't be so enthusiastic, man. I'm pumping it. All right. Also, embrace the work of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. They're emotional things. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. See, where the enemy wants to come in and have a foothold, a stronghold in our life, the Holy Spirit wants to come in. If we spend time with him, he says, you spend time with me, you'll produce some good fruit. It'll just come naturally out of this. It's not something that we do other than, Holy Spirit, come and be with me. Come and fill me. Come and infiltrate my life and my mind. Let the Holy Spirit speak through scriptures. Let the Holy Spirit speak through good counsel, through preaching, through the worship, through communion, through when you're out in work, encouraging people. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, and it's like, oh, man, I've just got love and joy and peace. He can change our heart. He's the one that does the work. There's not a lot of work that we need to do other than just keep presenting ourselves. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Holy Spirit, I didn't even know much about you, but come and fill me. He can do that. You don't need to know all that you need to know about him. But he'll do the work. So again, both the devil and the Holy Spirit don't do drive-by shootings of hitting us with a negative emotion or blessing us with a good emotion as they pass us by. They both want to step in and take over to change our nature and our character. It's just a question of who are we going to allow to take control of us? Who are we going to give that foothold to? Are we going to open up for the enemy to come in, or are we going to open up for the Holy Spirit to come in? We've got that option. And so this is the thing. We don't have to be a people overwhelmed with emotions. We can develop greater emotional control and resilience that will place us in a position where we can face the challenges that come our way with strength and faith. It's just a question of how much do you want to step in and start deciding how much we'll give control to our emotions to shape our life. We can keep going the way that we're going and just allow our emotions to take us on this ride. Or we're going to say today, enough's enough. I'm going to take control of this situation and bring some restraint in there to rebuild those walls of defense. Amen. Holding a cup of coffee. You are holding a cup of coffee when someone comes along and bumps into you or shakes your arm, making you spill your coffee everywhere. I like to do that every now and then with people. Why did you spill the coffee? Because someone bumped into me. Wrong answer. You spilled the coffee because there was coffee in your cup. Had there been tea in the cup, you would have spilled tea. See, whatever is inside the cup is what will spill out. Therefore, when life comes along and shakes you, which will happen, whatever is inside your cup will come out. It's easy to fake it until you get rattled. So we have to ask ourselves, what is in my cup? When life gets tough, what is it that's actually spilling over? Is it joy, gratitude, peace and humility, or is it anger and bitterness, a victim mentality, or a defeatist attitude? Or does what come out show an attitude and mentality of resilience? See, friends, God provides us with the cup, but it's us who chooses how we will fill it. Emotions aren't a bad thing. They are God-given. It's just the fact that they don't make good masters. And if left unchecked, they can lead us down a pathway of destruction rather than of resilience. And so today, let's determine to take control and start looking to fill up our cups with gratitude, forgiveness, joy, kindness, love for others, and also a resilient mindset. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. This morning, what's in your cup? And this is not a question to condemn you. It's a question to assess where you're at to say, you know, I'm sick and tired of being led by emotions. This is time for us to take control, friends, to start to step in and say, enough's enough. God, I want to start bringing those things into discipline. And start rebuilding the walls of defense rather than being open to every form of attack in our life. God wants to do this. The Holy Spirit was given for this very purpose, to build up walls of defense, to bring a strengthening of resilience so that we become the masters of our life, not being led by every wind and change and every circumstance. And that we walk this path forward directly to God, not being out, thrown over by different things that are happening to us. God, I thank you that you desire for us to be a resilient people. And God, at times we have failed ourselves. We have let ourselves down. But we know this, God, that you are the one who builds resilience in us, if we allow it to. Forgive us for our failures. Forgive us for letting things go and not being so disciplined. But today, God, today, in this time, in this place, in this time, we're asking for your help. Lord, take the words that have been spoken today to help inspire us for more, to encourage us to see, God, there is so much more that you have for us, and to recognize our responsibility in this process, to not let God go and do it, but Lord, for us to work with you in partnership. The responsibility lies with us. We acknowledge that today. Lord, we thank you for it. We are not defined by our emotions. We refuse to accept that today, Father God. Lord, you said you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. This is who we are. This is what we want to be, and this is what we choose to be today. And so this morning, if you want prayer for those sort of things, the struggles that you might be having, take a stand, friends. Don't let fear hold you back. Don't let the doubt or the pride hold you back, but step out. We want to pray with you. We're going to finish off with a song this morning. But before we do that as well, I want to give an opportunity for anyone who hasn't made a commitment towards God. That maybe this is the first time you ever heard about trying to control your emotions, or maybe you understand it, but from a worldly perspective. Well, today, Jesus wants to come and become Lord of your life. As you surrender yourselves to him, he wants to become Lord of your life to help you manage your emotions, to help you give you a vision and a new identity in him, purpose for living, a reason for living, a reason for your existence. You are here because of the hand of God, and God has a purpose and a destiny for you. And so I want to encourage you this morning. The only way to step into that is to step out and ask for prayer. We would love to pray with you to receive Jesus into your life, to make him the Lord and Master. Friends, we're not good when we try and control things ourselves. But when we give our life over to God, he rescues us. He does a work of restoration. He does a work of saving us from ourselves, saving us from our emotions, saving us from our bad choices, our wrong thinking. He wants to change us into the image of his son so that we can be like Jesus and be of a benefit to the people around us, be a witness to the goodness of God. If that's you this morning, I want you to come out and love to pray with you. But for anyone else as well who needs prayer, don't let your emotions rule you. Today is a day to say enough is enough. God, we're going to break through. I'm going to take control and give it all over to you and see your victory won. So we come forward. Yo. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
We want to stand with you this morning. We want to pray alongside of you for your breakthrough this morning. Our God is a God of breakthrough. No matter how many times you've walked around that wall, today could be your day for breakthrough. Come on. Thank you, Lord.